Welcome to this Security Talk series presentation. In this session, we are going to look at the Windows Azure platform from a security business perspective. We will cover the most common questions that are relevant to CXOs and business decision makers regarding security controls that the Windows Azure platform uses to protect customers, applications, and data. The cloud model takes us away from the traditional data center within our businesses. Rather than building out server racks ourselves, we can leverage the services in a utility-like fashion, similar to an electricity company, for example. The cloud allows us to buy more compute or storage as we need it, and just importantly, as demand drops, we can scale back, reducing our costs. This is a very different approach to the traditional data centers where your business must invest a large amount of capital to build the initial data center before even placing your business application upon it. This pay-as-you-grow model brings great business benefits in reducing the cost of running your businesses and getting away from the hassle of running a complex data center, which is not typically the key function to your business. The cloud services enable your businesses to bring applications to the market very quickly. We are talking weeks rather than months, since we do not have to design, implement, and manage the complex server architectures that we are so used to. In our on-premise world, we are used to controlling all aspects of security within our data centers. We fully understand in this model where our data is stored, how the firewalls are configured, what encryption we use in our data or the transports connecting systems, if our servers are hardened, for example, what the servers are connected to, and what the policies and controls are that we use to enforce a security in depth model. We know who our data center administrators are and what delegation model is used for them to access different resources. We can control if third parties can access our data centers or even what employees can gain physical access to systems. All of which is controlled by us, our business, and not typically a third party we have never even met. When moving to the cloud, this responsibility shifts to the cloud provider. We now do not have control of the full stack. We can only control the data and application, and Microsoft has access to the entire stack itself. With our data and application in the Microsoft cloud, we now need assurances from Microsoft that the correct due diligence is being applied, that our data is safe from Microsoft administrators and other customers. In the next few slides, we will cover how Microsoft provides these assurances. If we read the current press, such as the excellent British magazine The Economist, the main issue delaying the adoption of cloud platforms is by far the fear of security. Just as mentioned in the previous slide, it is that lack of control and transparency that is concerning people. Essentially, decision makers and organisations need to understand and assess the security, privacy and regulatory risks for each potential use of a cloud service. They need to make some informed decisions. The Gartner Group, for example, lists some common questions. Where is my data hosted? Does the provider commit to storing and processing data in a specific country? And does that jurisdiction, for example, comply with my privacy requirements? Is the cloud provider secure? Does it implement security controls required by industry best practice? For example, ISO 27001. Who can see my data? How does the service provider ensure that its employees and contractors will not bypass the security controls in place, compromising the confidentiality or the integrity of my data? Whether it was intentional or not? How can I make sure the service provider is following the laws and regulations I need to abide by? Can the compliance process be followed by a specific provider and be verified by a trusted third party? And what happens if the service provider goes out of business? Does it have long-term viability? Can I even get my data back? And in a form that I can use and migrate to another data center? These are some of the common questions that need to be asked. The Windows Azure platform is hosted in the Microsoft data centers around the world. Windows Azure provides compute power, storage, and automated service management, as well as easy connectivity to other applications and access control to provide secure authorization and authentication of access to cloud resources. This includes applications running on Windows Azure, Windows Server,
and a number of other platforms, including Java, Ruby, PHP, and others. Also hosted in Microsoft data centers is SQL Azure, providing relational database services and automated management. SQL Azure can help reduce costs by integrating with existing toolsets and providing symmetry with on-premise and cloud databases. Very briefly, the other functions are Windows Azure Compute, which provides the runtime execution environment for customer code. We have the Windows Azure Storage, which provides persistent, durable storage in the cloud. Windows Azure Connect, which provides a simple and easy to manage mechanism to set up IP-based network connectivity between on-premise and Windows Azure resources, and Windows Azure Content Delivery Network, which can enhance end-user performance and reliability by placing copies of data closer to users. SQL Azure is a highly available and scalable multi-tenanted relational database service hosted in the cloud. And the Windows Azure App Fabric service provides a comprehensive cloud middleware level to develop, deploy, and to manage business applications with connectivity and access control functionality.
To address these concerns, Microsoft implements a defense-in-depth model within Azure and its data centers. At the data layer, access to data stored in Azure is controlled using the strong storage access keys that are provisioned to the customer when signing up for a storage account. These keys are vitally important and must be protected, just like any other password, as it's these that allow you access to your data. Equally, all access to data should be done over SSL, to make sure the integrity of the data is upheld. At the application layer, Azure developers have the choice to run their front-end code under the default setting of partial trust, which is a sandbox that blocks access to native non-.NET code. And it helps ensure the integrity of the platform as a whole. But there will be cases where your applications need to interact with non-.NET code, such as Python or Java components, for example. And in this instance, you can run under full trust. All customer code, however, is run under a low privilege user account, such as standard user. This is an important distinction because it is something that cannot be opted out of, and you cannot give yourself any admin privileges. When it comes to the host level, Azure virtual machines run with a special version of Windows 2008, which is stripped down of all of its unnecessary components. Thus, the attack surface is minimal. Virtual machine boundaries are enforced by an underlying hardened hypervisor as well, that does not just depend on the VM Windows operating system. At the network level, all traffic to and from the virtual machines are filtered according to the policy defined by the customer and enforced by a firewall on the virtual machine as well. Microsoft also deploys VLANs, packet filters to segregate network access between customers, management system and the internet, of course, and it uses special devices to protect against denial of service attacks. Finally, at the physical layer, Microsoft runs Azure in its own data centers, which implements a world-class security control. These controls follow the ISO 27001 standard, for example, and they are audited to SAS 70 Type 2 by external auditors.
Virtualization is one of the driving technologies behind the ability of cloud services to scale up and down quickly relative to need. Virtualization also requires thoughtful management, as formerly hard security boundaries between systems become virtualized and thus potentially subject to new attack vectors. Every application can be logically divided up into parts. Windows Azure formalizes these divisions into roles, with the web role, the worker role, and the VM role, and they are defined within a service model. The web role is hosted on IIS and is used to run web applications. The worker role is used to run applications but not limited to .NET applications. The VM role uses a virtual hard disk of a Windows 2008 R2 virtual machine. This VHD is actually created on-premise using a Windows server and then uploaded to Windows Azure, and developers can configure and maintain the OS and use Windows services and schedule tasks, etc. in that role. In Windows Azure Compute services, a computing node can be configured to have one of the above roles that we have talked about. depending upon the purpose of it, and each node run inside its own virtual machine. Each virtual machine has 1, 2, 4 or 8 virtual CPUs, and is allocated up to 14 gigabytes of memory. The VMs run a special version of Windows 2008 or Windows Server 2008 R2 that has specific server OS software installed, IIS or .NET Framework, etc., depending on its role, and it also has a very limited number of device drivers. There is no long-lasting storage on individual compute nodes. Data is written to local disks. It is not guaranteed to be persisted across the instantiation or de-instantiation of the virtual machines. Any data that requires durability must be stored in one of the Windows Azure storage services. Windows Firewall is enabled on each VM. The only ports open and addressable, internally or externally, on a Windows Azure VM are those explicitly defined in the service definition file configured by the customer. Windows Azure uses its own hypervisor, a virtualization layer developed by Microsoft that is built on top of lessons learned from our Hyper-V product. It runs directly over the hardware and divides a node into a variable number of virtual machines. Each node also has a root virtual machine, which runs the host operating system on the hypervisor control systems. Azure uses a stripped-down version of Windows Server that includes only those components necessary to host a VM, like the Fabric Controller Agent. This is done both to improve performance and to reduce the attack surface. A critical boundary is the isolation of the root VM from the guest VMs and the guest VMs from one another, managed by the hypervisor and the root OS. The hypervisor-root OS pairing leverages Microsoft's decades of operating system security experience, as well as the more recent learnings from the Microsoft Hyper-V product, to provide strong isolation of guest VMs. All access to network and disk by the VMs is mediated by the root OS. The hypervisor's virtual network switch filters filter all network traffic from and to the virtual machines, and also prevent sniffer-based attacks against other VMs on the same physical host. Additional filters are placed to block broadcast and multicast traffic, with the exception of what is needed to maintain DHCP leases.
Within each Azure subscription, a developer can create multiple storage accounts. Each account has two shared access keys generated for it. As mentioned before, these keys must be kept secret, and you should protect them just like any other high-privileged password, since they are used to access your data. You're given two keys to allow for key rollover, because it is recommended that you regenerate these keys on a regular basis. Equally, if a key becomes compromised, you would need to use the other one immediately. Both keys essentially have the same access level to the data, but you typically use the primary key in your service configuration file. When the key needs to be changed, you simply replace the key in the service configuration file and regenerate the primary key, essentially deleting it. This can all be performed via the Windows Azure portal or programmatically using the service management APIs. And of course, use SSL for all communications when dealing with these keys. An important feature to note when creating the storage account is the choice you're given about the location of your data. Although this is not extensive currently, you can choose to store your data in the US, Europe, or Asia. This may be important to you due to your country's privacy laws.
Data is replicated within Windows Azure Storage Service to three separate nodes within the Azure Fabric to minimize the impact of a hardware failure. In case of a physical failure affecting one or even two nodes, data is still available from the third one. Customers of Windows Azure can also write customized applications run on Windows Azure compute nodes to extract data from Windows Azure storage for off-site backups. Note that Windows Azure Storage Subsystem makes customer data unavailable once delete operations are called. All storage operations, including delete, are designed to be instantly consistent. Successful execution of a delete operation removes all references to the associated data item, and it cannot be accessed via the storage APIs. All copies of the deleted data item are then garbage collected. The physical bits will be overwritten when the associated storage block is reused for storing other data.
Windows Azure Platform App Fabric provides secure connectivity and access control for customers with the need to integrate cloud services with on-premises systems, such as AD, to perform business-to-business integration or to connect to remote devices. The Access Control Service provides federated claims-based access control for web services, and developers can use these services to build distributed or composite applications. By supporting industry standards like WS Federation and SAML 2.0, Access Control provides an easy way to control access to web services and while integrating with standard-based identity providers, including Active Directory and other popular web identities, such as Windows Live ID, Google, Yahoo, and even Facebook. On the application side, Azure integrates with the Windows Identity Foundation framework, so developers can build applications that can be hosted on-premise and on the cloud without any changes.
Windows Azure Connect is a new Windows Azure service currently in CTP that allows secure network communications for Windows Azure roles. With Windows Azure Connect, you can use a simple user interface to configure IPsec protected connections between computers or virtual machines in your organization's network and roles running in Windows Azure. After you configure these connections, role instances in Windows Azure use IP addresses like that of your other networked resources, rather than having to use some form of external virtual IP addressing. Windows Azure Connect makes it easier to do tasks such as the following. You can configure and use a distributed application that uses roles in Windows Azure, like a web role, together with services in your organization's network, such as your SQL Server. The distributed application could be one that you're networking to include not only resources in your network, but also one or more Azure roles, such as a web role. Many combinations are possible between Windows Azure roles, such as web roles, worker roles, or VM roles, and your networked resources, including servers or VMs, or print or email or database access, etc. Your network resources can also include legacy systems that are supported by your distributed application. You can remotely administer and debug Windows Azure role instances. You can easily manage Windows Azure role instances using external management tools in your network, such as Systems Operations Manager, or running scripts such as PowerShell. You can join Windows Azure role instances to your domain so that you can use your existing methods for domain authentication, name resolution, or other domain-wide maintenance actions.
As you can see, the Windows Azure platform has SLAs for different parts of the platform. In particular, the SLAs are different for compute and storage. For compute, Microsoft guarantees that when you deploy two or more role instances in a different fault and upgrade domain, your internet-facing roles will have external connectivity for at least 99.95% of the time. Additionally, Microsoft will monitor all of your individual role instances and guarantee that 99.9% of the time, we will detect within 2 minutes when a role instance process is not running and initiate corrective procedures. Now for storage, we guarantee that at least 99.9% of the time we will successfully process correctly formatted requests that we receive to add, update, read and delete data. Microsoft also guarantees that your storage accounts will have connectivity to the Microsoft Internet Gateway. These SLA calculations are based on an average over a 30-day monthly cycle, with 5-minute time intervals for 99.9% SLAs. Failure seen by a customer in the form of a service unavailability will be counted for the purpose of availability calculations for that customer. Microsoft also offers credits back to the customer if these SLAs are not met. And for more detail on this, it can be found on the Azure website from www.microsoft.com/WindowsAzure/pricing. Development groups within Microsoft use the security development lifecycle to pragmatically address the security threats that may be inherent in their software products. The SDL is a set of processes and tools designed to reduce the number and severity of vulnerabilities in software products. It encompasses education of developers, program managers, and even architects in the secure development processes. It enforces accountability of these individuals and product teams for building consistently more secure software. The SDL applies to all Microsoft software, including online services such as Azure. Essentially, the SDL attempts to address security threats throughout the development process by using tools such as threat modeling during the design process, by following development best practices, by adhering to code security standards during coding, by requiring various tools for testing and verification before deployment. These proactive checks during development make software less vulnerable to potential threats after release, and the SDL provides a structured and consistent methodology with which to apply them. These methodologies, which are supported by an executive commitment to security, have helped Microsoft develop high quality and more secure software. Any customer developing an Azure application should also follow the SDL. And to learn more about it, please visit www.microsoft.com/SDL. Customers must be assured that Microsoft data centers are operated to the highest standards. Within Microsoft, the Operational Services Security and Compliance team works across the operations, product and service delivery teams and with internal and external auditors to ensure compliance with the relevant security industry standards and regulatory obligations. The physical security of all Microsoft data centers is an example of the operational security that the operations team manages. Policies define the access controls applied to inner and outer perimeters, the levels of automated monitoring applied at the data centers, and the security incident notification procedures that are in force. Microsoft specifies the security requirements upon which data center employees and contractors are reviewed. In addition to contractual stipulations about the site staff, the operation team defines policies that have a further layer of security within the data center for personnel who operate the facility. Access is restricted by applying least privilege policy so that only essential staff are authorized to manage users, applications and services. As a result of implementing this framework, Microsoft's cloud infrastructure has gained SAS 70 Type 2 qualification, which technically incorporates all of the Type 1 elements as well. And this leads to Microsoft adhering to the 27001-2005 certification. The ISO 27001-2005 certification validates that Microsoft has implemented the internationally recognized information security controls defined in this standard. The SAS 70 qualification illustrates that Microsoft's willingness to open up its internal security program to outside scrutiny. The SAS 70 is an auditing standard designed by the American Institute of Certified Practice Accountants to enable an independent auditor to evaluate and issue an opinion on the service provider controls, which is what Microsoft has done. And all these certificates are available to data in Windows Azure is stored in Microsoft data centers around the world. This is based on the geolocation properties that the customer has specified in the Windows Azure portal when creating storage accounts. The current locations are North America, Europe, and Asia. The law of data location is the important point here. Microsoft is a signatory to the Safe Harbor Act and will fulfill all of its obligations under the Safe Harbor framework. A common question is how will Microsoft handle Safe Harbor's access principle that would require Microsoft to provide access to individuals whose information is held within Azure. In the context of Windows Azure, Microsoft is a data processor for the purposes of EU data protection, and Microsoft will act on behalf of our customers who are data controllers, and we direct EU data subjects to our customers for the satisfaction of some, if not all, of the data subjects' rights. Some customers will not be happy having Microsoft host their cloud applications. In this case, it will be possible for a customer to buy a Windows Azure appliance via a selected Microsoft partner. This appliance, which is more like a complete container then a device, will provide the same functionality as Windows Azure platform, including Windows Azure, SQL Azure, and all the other components. Using such an appliance will enable customers to meet some of the government's requirements about keeping data within countries' borders, for example, and other government regulations. It is important to note, though, right now the appliance is still managed by Microsoft and is not completely isolated. This may change in the future as the product develops. This brings us to the end of this high-level security business overview for the Windows Azure platform. For more details, I recommend you visit the following sites. The Windows Azure Security Overview white paper provides technical security details about Azure and will complement the slides from this presentation. The compliance frameworks details how the Azure operations team runs and manages the Azure data centers in far more detail. And finally, the SDL is a must read before writing any applications for the cloud to make sure you're adhering to the latest best practices and security standards. Thank you very much for your time and goodbye.
Check out the Windows Azure subscription options at http://bit.ly/try-Windows-Azure to find one that works for your business needs.